This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, my name is Tanya Steger, reading from the pages of Kentucky Living Magazine, published monthly by the Kentucky Association of Electric Cooperatives. Today, I'm reading from the May 2024 issue and the Studios of Radio Reading Services of Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Let's start with the article on Escaping the Bunker, written by Chris Perry, who's president and CEO of Kentucky Electric Cooperatives. Thoughts on the PGA Championship, Kentucky and Coming Together. When the PGA Championship returns to Kentucky this month, I will be celebrating two things. I love Kentucky and golf. Also hope we can celebrate what's great about golf instead of focusing on controversies that have divided the sport. I encourage you to check out the article on page 22 about how Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville is preparing to host the event. During its relatively short history, Valhalla has witnessed some of golf's greatest moments, from the Tiger Woods stirring win in 2000, the energized crowd who cheered the United States team to victory in the 2008 Ryder Cup. This year's PGA Championship comes at a tumultuous time to professional golf history. 2 years ago, the launch of the Saudi-financed LIV Golf League fractured the golf landscape. With huge purses, LIV Golf lured many of the best golfers away from the PGA. The civil war that followed filtered down into the lower ranks of the sport, even into college and junior golf. Now, as LIV Golf and the PGA continue to negotiate a merger, the players are separated by bad blood and distrust. Just as Valhalla offers an opportunity to put those divisions aside to come together and create new memories, I can't help but compare the discord within my favorite sport to the rhetoric and noise that had riled my chosen profession, the electric sector. Before electric cooperatives belong to and are led by people we serve, our concerns about the electric grid are driven not by profit motives, but by duty to our members. Unfortunately, in a soundbite world, it's difficult to have an honest discussion about complex subjects, and the engineering and cost factors of the electric grid are as complex as you can get. I'm reminded of the honor code that guides professional golfers who are expected to protect the integrity of the game by calling penalties on themselves. As co-ops, we have a duty to be honest in often difficult situations. Can we discuss the realities we face, the looming reliability crisis, the effect of unaffordability, and how we can keep our state growing? These questions defy conventional political divides. No matter what side you're on, there are some common sense subjects we need to talk about. Let's look to Valhalla this month and a rare opportunity for everyone to come together. Now I'm going to go to that article on the golf situation in Valhalla in this issue of the magazine. Valhalla is a golf course in Louisville, Kentucky. The PGA returns after a decade championship. It's back in Kentucky. It's been 10 years since Rory McIlroy won his fourth career major title at Valhalla Golf Club, pairing the last hole in near darkness to defeat Phil Mickelson by one shot and etch his name into the history books alongside some of golf's greatest stars. And now the world's best are set to return to Louisville's for the 106th PGA Championship, May 16th through 19th. Valhalla has seen its fair share of major tournaments over the years, but general manager Keith Reese says he never takes the opportunity for granted. Reese considers it a privilege to welcome the game's top talent to Valhalla, from senior PGA to Ryder's Cups to PGA Championship, and he looks forward to doing so once again. It will be the seventh professional golf event Valhalla has hosted since its opening in 1986. It's always a big deal to host a major championship, says Reese, who was named the 2024 Kentucky PGA Section Golf Executive of the Year in February. What's interesting for us, it's been a 10-year gap. We've had a lot of championships, but they were very close together. So this 10-year gap has created a huge amount of excitement, both within the community and within the club. PGA Championship Director Ryan Olgo is just as eager as Reese for the major championship to return to Valhalla in 2024. Not only does the venue have an impressive bit of past championship, but Valhalla is also surrounded by a ravenous base of sports fans who Olgo knows will turn out in droves to watch the unfolding of another chapter in the club's championship history. We have a storied history in Louisville and Kentuckians and a storied history at Valhalla. That's how dramatic events come. That's how dramatic events, some of the best events that we have had in our history, Olga says. It's a dramatic course. We hope to provide more drama in 2024. In 1981, when the business Dwight Graham got the idea to build a world-class golf facility in Louisville, a venue he hoped would become a crown jewel of bluegrass state golf and host the biggest events in the game. Alongside his sons, Graham recruited 18-time major champion Jack Nicholson to design Valhalla Golf Club. Named for the heaven-like hall of fallen warriors in Norse mythology, the 486-acre facility opened in 1986 and has been the top-ranked club in Kentucky since it became eligible for the honor in the late 80s. Graham's major championship dream was realized when PGA of America selected Valhalla as the host for the site for the 1996 PGA Championship. That year saw a top-notch field descend upon Louisville for the 78th playing of the PGA Championship. Texas native Mark Brooks won the first major event held at Valhalla Golf Club, collecting his seventh and final PGA Tour victory after defeating Kentucky native Kenny Perry in a sudden-death playoff. In the years since, Tiger Woods, Bob May, Hal Irving, Jay Haas, Paul Essinger have been among the golf legends to play at Valhalla. During the 2014 PGA Championship, Roy McIlroy added his name to the list of incredible championships who won at Valhalla. He'll be looking to recreate that winning performance as he works to add some major titles to an already impressive career. Career resumed this time around. A momentous May. The last time the tournament came to Valhalla, the PGA Championship was contested in August, acting as the final of the nation's major seasons. But in 2019, the event was moved to May, meaning that this year's championship of the PGA Championship will begin 12 days after the Kentucky Derby, which is celebrating its 150 run for the Roses in 2024. Though some might have considered this a proximity of dates to be a challenge for both events, Olgo and his team have viewed it as a unique opportunity to lift all boats in the Louisville community, collaborating with both Churchill Downs and local sponsors to generate support and interest in the PGA Championship. While being respectful of what the 150 Derby means to Kentucky and the sporting world at large, It takes the community support for us to be successful, and it's a goal of ours to have a long-lasting positive impact in our host community, Ogle said. I know the community is extremely excited about having two events in a row. When you look at the economic impact of the Derby, and then you add in our economic impact, that exceeds $100 million for every event. The economic impact for the month of May is hundreds of millions of dollars, which is a great thing to do for Louisville. Having witnessed a firsthand running of the state's premier golf club, Reese knows just how golf-crazed Kentuckians are. Thursday through Sunday, tickets are already sold out, and the event has sold more hospitality packages than any other PGA championship, a testament to just how much Kentucky is looking forward to welcoming back the best male professional golfers in the world. It seems like everyone here is horse fans, but we certainly have a lot of golf fans as well. Knowledgeable golf fans and a huge volunteer base, says Reese. It's amazing what the community does to support these events. I think this PGA Championship will go right up there with the best of the best. An experience to remember. Attending a golf tournament in person is a unique experience. Unlike most other sports, the stadium is spread across hundreds of acres of natural landscape, and between 120 and 156 athletes are playing at any given time, except on the weekends when the field is cut down based on score. Some courses have long walks between holes and a few good spots to sit down and watch the action. And considering that a round of golf generally takes from between 4 and 5 hours to complete, you likely won't be in and out of the PGA Championship in 2 hours. But don't be intimidated. Valhalla Golf Club is a spectacular, friendly, featuring plenty of vantage points across the property, from which you can see a few holes at a time. A perfect way to watch the action without having to hole up in a grandstand all day. This year's PGA Championship will once again implement a food-inclusive ticket model, an initiative that was introduced in 2022. That means that in addition to a complimentary water, every championship plus ticket holder can receive one entree item, one snack item, and one non-alcoholic beverage on an unlimited basis at any of the public concessions on the property. Don't fret if you weren't one of the lucky fans to snag a ticket. This event will be broadcast live on ESPN and CBS with plenty of pre-tournament coverage on golf channels live from early in the week. So even if you can't attend the event in person, pour yourself a beverage, flick on the TV, and watch just what Valhalla Golf Club and the state of Kentucky have to offer when it comes to golf. You won't be disappointed. This is from Sarah Callum, who serves as a digital content manager at PGA. A Grant County native, Keller played collegiate golf at Northern Kentucky University. So our next article is on native blossoms. Spigelia is a beautiful and easy to care for native blossom. Spigelia is beautiful. Kentucky's native perennial flower is slowly becoming more widely available at your local garden centers. Also known as Indian pink or pink rod, Spigelia was often available in small quantities in early spring before the flowers emerged, but it would go unnoticed as a simple green plant. Now it's not uncommon to see them in bloom and ready for sale, helping them grow in popularity. In its native habitat, Spigelia can be found in part shade to shade and in rich, moist soils. It also tolerates wet soils. In our landscape, it can actually thrive in partly sun or even full sun locations with adequate water. Newer cultivators like Raging Cajun and Little Redhead are known to be more sun tolerant and produce more flowers than the straight species. A natural upright habit helps to show off Spigelia's bright red tubular flowers and can grow 18 to 24 inches tall. Spigelia begins in bloom in May, continues into June, and then will bloom sporadically throughout the summer. Its red tubular flowers are tinged with yellow that looks like a star and is attractive to hummingbirds. Once planted, Spigelia is low maintenance. It is known for its longevity in the garden. So once you plant it, you will enjoy it for many years to come without having to do a thing. Take the time to plant it in the perfect spot so you don't have to try to move it later, causing undue stress. Choose to plant one or several of this Kentucky's native, and you won't be disappointed. When people see it bloom in your garden, they will ask, "What is that?" You can proudly tell them it's a fabulous native plant called Spigelia. Okay, we certainly would like to share some down-home comfort recipes with you today. We all know food can nourish more than just your bodies. It can nourish your soul. Food can evoke memories and feelings that take us to an instantly comforting place. On a cold, rainy day, you can cuddle up with a bowl of warm tomato soup and buttery grilled cheese. You can savor sinking your teeth into a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie fresh from the oven, or experience the season by savoring each bite of a tart peach cobbler and melty vanilla ice cream after a sun-drenched late summer day. This month, these two recipes offer true Southern comfort food. Nothing fancy or over the top, just family favorites like a warm hug. So enjoy. The first one we're going to share with you is a chicken pot pie casserole with flaky pie crust topping. So this recipe calls for 3 tablespoons of butter, 1 medium onion, 1 cup celery diced, 2 to 3 garlic cloves minced, 3 tablespoons flour, 1.5 cups whole milk, 1.5 cups chicken broth, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon thyme, 1/2 teaspoon basil, 1/2 teaspoon white pepper, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper, and 1/8 teaspoon nutmeg. 3 cups cooked chicken breast. That would be 3 large breasts, or roughly 2 pounds cubed. 1 cup frozen peas and carrots, and 1 pie crust. 1 egg. You would preheat the oven to 375 degrees. Melt the butter in a large pot over medium heat. Add the onion and celery and saute until the onions are soft. Add the garlic and saute 5 more minutes until fragrant. Stir in the flour to coat the vegetables. Slowly whisk in the milk and broth, ensuring lump-free form. Add spices, chicken, and frozen vegetables. Stir 5 minutes, stirring occasionally. Simmer 5 minutes, stirring occasionally. Pour filling into a greased 9-inch by 9-inch baking dish. Top with the pie crust, crimping the edges to seal. Cut a couple of slits on top and brush with the beaten egg. Bake 35 to 40 minutes until crust is golden brown and filling is bubbly. Let cool 10 minutes before serving. It says it will serve 6, but not in my family. That sounds like a very nice dish to make and not really too hard. And the other recipe here is a fan favorite, and it's family's favorite banana pudding. And it's given to us by Eva, who grew up living, loving banana pudding. As an adult, she began tinkering with recipes to make it her own. This is how a sample at the church and family dinners. This recipe calls for 8 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature, 1 3.4-ounce boxed instant vanilla pudding mix, 1 cup of milk, 2 cups whipped cream, or a tub of whipped topping, thawed, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla, 3 to 4 medium banana slice, and a box of vanilla wafers. Beat the cream cheese until smooth in separate bowls, and whisk together pudding mix and milk until combined. Add the pudding to the cream cheese and mix until no lumps remain. Fold in vanilla and the whipped cream. Refrigerate it while assembling layers. In the medium bowl, layer bananas, vanilla wafers, and pudding mixture. Repeat until all ingredients are used. That would be 2 to 3 layers of each. Refrigerate it until set. And this serves 12 to 18. I doubt it. That is, sounds delicious. Vanilla wafers with bananas and cream cheese and whipped cream. I think that sounds very good. Just like grandma. Our next article is Just Like Grandma. Homemade goodness at the farmhouse dinner in Sailorsville. An older gentleman had already become a regular customer at the farmhouse diner in Sailorsville, says co-owner Amanda Allen. When he pulled her aside for an emotional conversation, he told Amanda his wife had died a few years before. He loved coming to the diner because for the first time since she passed, he could eat gravy that reminded him of her cooking. It wasn't for the first time Amanda had heard that kind of story. Customers say her made-from-scratch country cooking takes them back to Grandma's house and Mom's kitchen table. It's just what she hoped for when she opened the diner with her husband, Tony, and daughter, Clara, on November 1st, 2019. At the time, Sailorsville, there was no mom-and-pop place, says Amanda, a Licking Valley RECC consumer remembers. It was all chain restaurants. When the restaurant opened, she says community response was overwhelming. And even following a temporary COVID-19 closure, customers came back stronger than ever. Breakfast is always popular, and so is the lunch and dinner buffet, available 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. In addition to a full menu, the buffet offers salad bar, homemade pizza, plus rotating classics like chicken and dumplings, pot roast, and meatloaf every Friday, cobblers, cheesecakes, cakes and pies, all made from scratch, round out a hearty meal. But it's not just the food that makes the farmhouse diner a staple in Sailorsville. It's also the deep community connection. We really, literally know everyone in the county, Amanda says. If they walk in, I can tell you who they are. Located at 1506 Royalton Road in Sailorsville, the farmhouse diners open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, closed on Monday. Read more at KentuckyLiving.com. Now, they do have a recipe here for the farmhouse kitchen soup beans, which is 2 pounds of pinto, dry beans, a ham bone or salt pork, and salt and pepper to taste. That's all the ingredients. The night before cooking, add the dry beans to a large bowl and cover the beans with water by 2 to 3 inches and soak 12 hours or overnight. Add the soaked pinto beans to a stock pot and cover with about 1 gallon of water. Add the ham bone or the salt pork and bring to a boil over medium-high heat. Cover and reduce the heat to medium-low. Simmer, stirring occasionally, until beans are very tender but not mushy, about 2 hours. Uncover and cook till the soup thickens slightly, about 30 minutes. Taste, then season with salt and pepper as needed. Serve with a cast-iron skillet cornbread for a true Appalachian staple. Solar is not free. We all talk about solar energy. Well, solar is not free. Will installing solar make my electricity bill go away? This article is by Miranda Battelle, who writes on energy efficiency for the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. The answer to that question is the ability to generate your own renewable energy at home is an amazing thing. The concept of free energy from the sun is appealing, but solar power isn't actually free. Installing residential solar system doesn't equal zero energy bills. Prices for the solar energy and installation vary, but typically come with a five-figure price tag. Solar systems provide power only when the sun is shining. You still rely on your electrical utility for power at night and when the skies are cloudy. Most electric utility rates structures include a set monthly service fee. Unless you plan to disconnect from the local electric service completely, you will still have a monthly electric bill. If you are considering solar for your home, think about taking these three steps. First, make your home as energy efficient as possible. It doesn't make sense to put a solar system on an energy wasting home. Recommended efficiency updates before installing solar include includes insulating and air sealing your home and upgrading to efficiency appliances, especially the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. Second, check with your electric utility upon the requirements to install solar and how it will impact your bill. If you decide to install solar panels, work with your utility will be essential, as you will need to take important steps such as signing an interconnection agreement to ensure the system is properly connected to the electric grid. Third, get at least 3 quotes to compare each contractor's recommended system design, equipment, and costs. It's a significant investment, so you want to know your options. Investing in solar is one way to support the transition to renewable energy. Before you make the leap, improve your home's energy efficiency and empower yourself by thoroughly weighing the cost and benefits. Thank you so much for joining me today. That's all the time we have. I've been reading from Kentucky Living Magazine from the May 2024 issue. For the radio reading service of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, my name is Tanya Steger, and thank you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.